one of the things that whoever falls into this job is going to have to do, you're going to have to manage personnel. You're going to have to be able to connect and relate to players that goes beyond just drawing up plays. That's right. Where Chauncey, I think, is going to be an exceptional candidate. And it, to me, it's not a matter of if he's going to get a head coaching job, it's a matter of when. And I, again, Boston will be a great fit, but I don't think that's going to be the guy, though. As much as I love Chauncey, I don't think he's going to be the guy. In fact, I don't think he's going to be a guy.
Come on. You think it's going to be Kara Lawson?
Oh, you're talking about Kara?
Look at Max's face.
Becky Hammond.
No, Becky. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Kara either.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
Hey, Sherrod, tell us about this, because this is what I'm putting out, and I know that you're a big fan, and several people have asked me, but tell us a little bit about Chauncey Billups.
Oh, gosh. I'm the worst person in the world to ask about him, because I am absolutely biased. I am without question. I'm not even going to try. But here's why I'm biased.
Yeah, I want to hear.
I'm biased because I've seen this guy in action for almost a decade. I've seen him up close. We have spent lots of time together in Detroit. And there are really subtle things that Chauncey Billups does that show us a level of leadership that I don't think people recognize. For example, in Detroit, one of the first things he did through a lot of those years was he made sure Ben Wallace got the ball on the very first opening possession. You know why? Because that was a way to make him feel more part of what they were doing, and he would play harder. And it was one of those real subtle things that, unless you knew that was going on, you wouldn't even recognize it. Those are the type of things that, when you talk about leadership behind the scenes, little things like that matter to players. The way that he would communicate with Rip Hamilton was the best scorer on those Detroit teams. But one thing that he would often do is, when there was a mismatch, he would make sure Rip got the ball, and he would tell everyone, clear out, Rip got this. And they would iso ball, and Rip would attack. And again, empowering a guy who he thought needed that empowerment, recognizing when to frankly stroke the egos of guys who need that, but at the same time do it within the framework of the team. Little things like that. And again, off the court, he's got a bunch of different businesses where he's handled those things well. So one of the things that whoever falls into this job is going to have to do, you're going to have to manage personnel. You're going to have to be able to connect and relate to players that goes beyond just drawing up plays. That's right. Where Chauncey, I think, is going to be an exceptional candidate. And it, to me, it's not a matter of if he's going to get a head coaching job, it's a matter of when. And I, again, Boston will be a great fit, but I don't think that's going to be the guy, though. As much as I love Chauncey, I don't think he's going to be the guy. In fact, I don't think he's going to be a guy.
Come on. You think it's going to be Kara Lawson?
Oh, you're talking about Kara?
Look at Max's face.
Becky Hammond.
Becky. No, Becky. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Kara either. I don't. I've kind of heard, I don't think it's going to be Kara Lawson. I know that's kind of the easy one. She was in Boston, but it was only a year. It was only a year. Like I heard Perk touting Sam Cassell. And he's like, well,
it's not going to be Sam.
I don't think Sam connects with these guys.
He was here for like a minute.
I think he would connect with the team from like 8 years ago. I don't know if he connects with these guys.
What I've been hearing today, just talking to some folks, is that at a minimum, Becky's going to be on that short list.
I like
at
that.
A minimum.
That's one of those lists. I think, like you're saying, that yes, I think she'll be on the list to be interviewed. But how serious are the teams about doing that?
Well, here's the thing, Max. I'll tell you right now.
You remember those black coaches that go to the Rooney Rule, that they say, well, we got to interview a black coach now? I think because of the way society is now, I think that is going to happen. And I'm not saying she's not qualified.
I don't know, Max. I think that was about 5 years ago.
I'm not saying she's not qualified. But I just don't think that with the Celtic organization right now, that is going to be the person.
Max, I tell you right now, though, Max, I mean, the fact is, we really don't know how Brad Stevens is going to view this whole process. We don't know that. And when you look at the backdrop, Max, of being part of an organization that has gone against the grain, when you talk about the first black player they drafted, you talk about the first all-black starting five, you talk about the first black head coach. This is an organization that has historically done things that went against the grain because they were deemed as being maybe too progressive. And remember, she's coming from the Popovich tree. Who was the one guy who was the one guy that put his stamp of approval on Brad Stevens when he came into the NBA? Greg Popovich. Yep. That has weight. That is going to get her at minimum inside the room to have a conversation. Now, what happens there, we don't know. But what I'm hearing is that she is going to be someone that's going to be on that short list.
Sherrod, I want a former player. I want a guy who played in this league that can connect with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Period. Jeff, my guy is Chauncey.
Chauncey or Juwan Howard? Chauncey or Juwan Howard?
I tell you what, this team, this franchise ain't ready for Juwan.
Why? Why?
Because Juwan is exactly what they need, but I don't think they can handle
it. Just say it, Sherrod. This sucks. Juwan
is as hard as they come. He's just a tough guy. That's what they need. But are they going to give this team what they need, or are they going to give this team what they're comfortable feeling they need?
I think Sherrod's afraid of a mutiny, Goodman, which could happen. It could be a mutiny. They could say, you know what, we're tired of this guy. He's too tough on us, you know.
Exactly. And that's my concern. I love that about him.
Listen, he's coached in college, so I think he's had to change a little bit over the last couple of years. And I don't – obviously, yes, as a player, as an assistant coach in the NBA, you got to be different. When you come back now, I don't know, maybe he learned some things. I think he figured it out.
I liked his role with that last Miami Heat team. You know, those runs that he was significant. I mean, obviously Haslam sort of take on that role since him, but you know, that what he was to that team was almost like he was an assistant before he was officially an assistant, right? And I think dealing with LeBron James and big egos, that he could have a little extra more experience compared to others, you know, former players that are more connected to the generation, you know, compared to guys like Sam Cassell, who, you know, not to say that he doesn't have a chance in the NBA to coach. Absolutely he does. He's been an assistant for a really long time underneath, you know, especially underneath Doc Rivers. I just don't know if he's the guy for this team, for this young, fragile team.
Here it is in a nutshell.
Very fragile.
Because Brad Stevens took the job he's in now, I think that even ties the Celtics' hands that much more to have a coach of color.
Without question.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to – nothing wrong with Becky Hammond, whatever, but I think it is going to be a coach of color because of the perception of what's happened right now with Brad Stevens moving over to the other side. Now, that could be racist on my part. Oh, my God. But I just believe in this case that this team is going to have to make that move. They have tied their hands right now because of Brad Stevens taking that job.
And should make that move. Forget about have to. Yeah. Should make that move to me. There's guys like Chauncey Billups, like Juwan Howard. Here's the one I want to ask you guys. Here's the name I want to ask you guys because it's come up a bunch. And then I'll probably bounce after that. But I want to hear Sherrod,
what you got?
Max. What have you guys heard about Lloyd Pierce? I've met him a couple times. I like him. He went sideways with Trae Young. But I don't look at that necessarily as bad.
You cannot if you get the players talking about you in a full revolt and you're about to go to another team after you left your team and your team advances and they start playing better, that's not a good sign. That's not a stamp of approval for your team.
No.
If you're in position right now that happened, then I think at that point, I think that you are looking at somebody who is, to me, and this is just me, damaged goods to other teams because of what other players are going to say about you.
Lloyd is your lead assistant. You bring him in. He can be your lead assistant. That's a role that I think at this point in his career makes a lot of sense for him to, frankly, as Max said, get some of that damage off his resume and, frankly, re-up his value. But, no, Lloyd is I think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know how he can manage elite upper tier talent because he didn't get it done with, you know, Trey. John Collins, you know, he's a who I thought was a very good player. He's now a really good player. And part of it is because a lot of the Hawks players are getting healthy, like Hunter. But end of the day, you can't bring a guy in with that type of baggage to be your head coach. You can bring him in as your lead assistant. In fact, it will be looked upon as a positive if that's your lead assistant because he has head coaching experience and he knows how to work with players. He understands what it means to just try to build a player's confidence.
Absolutely.
It makes a lot of sense. I'll see you, Jeff.
All right. Later, boys.
Jeff. Appreciate you. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that, Gerard. I feel like the reputation, it certainly means something. I mean, it's interesting how a couple of weeks ago, or I think it was about a couple of weeks ago, when we had Kendrick Perkins joining us, he was already saying it before, like, hey, the word around the street is that, you know, this team isn't crazy about Brad Stevens. You know, that's the talk around the league. And I think that when you build a reputation like that, especially when you look at what Trae Young did, the way they finished the season, the hot streak the Atlanta Hawks went on, like that all sort of is bad in the sense of other players from the outside looking in thinking, well, shit, maybe Trae was right. You know, maybe Lloyd Pierce wasn't the right guy. Look how great they look now that he's out of the picture. And yeah, it's just too soon. It literally just happened. You know, it might be too soon for the Celtics to bring someone like that in.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, about just, you know, Brad's situation is that, you know, and I talked to a couple of people earlier today, and the way that Brad wound up in the position he's in now, there's some folks out there who are just looking side-eyed at the Celtics because – the point that was brought up to me today, and I didn't really think about it until this assistant GM brought it up to me in a call earlier today. He said that think about where Doc Rivers was in his last year. What did Doc want? He didn't want to go through another rebuild. He wanted more voice and player personnel. So what did they do? They traded him for a first-round pick to the Clippers.
Yep.
Now, even though obviously we're talking about different periods of time, but there's a lot of circumstances that are very similar to where Doc was then and where Brad is now. And Brad gets promoted, Doc gets traded. That's why who they hire as their next head coach, there is going to be a major spotlight on that. And it can't be someone in the same wheelhouse as Brad Stevens because that is not going to go over well with a lot of people.
So we're taking Jay out of the scenario.
Larinaga.
I think when you start looking at the candidates that they're going to have to choose from, I just don't think Jay is going to stack to the top of the pile.
I'm just on the same. I think that the Celtics have tight, and I think that Brad, this could be a good hire as the general manager.
I think. Listen, my issue with Brad is this: I don't think he is a bad hire for the position. Because to me, it ultimately it's not so much you getting the job; it's what do you do in a job? How are you going to move this franchise going forward? You know, one of the things that and Max, we don't talk about it that much, but think about this: this franchise, they've won one championship in the last 35 years. That's it. One championship. And when you start looking at the teams throughout the NBA in that period of time, there are seven franchises that have won at least two titles in that same window. So we talk about the Celtics mystique and Celtics pride and how awesome they are. The bottom line is this. They are a team that is still trying to get to where they are an elite franchise. And one title in 35 years, that does not scream elite franchise. They have to be – they have to get – Brad has to get someone in here who can take this team to that next level and make them a championship contender. Because I think you've got two of the key pieces with Jalen and Jason to work around. But it's up to him to surround those guys with the right talent and get the right kind of leader in here. That's why when I think about – you guys mentioned Juwan Howard. He would be the ideal candidate, someone who – frankly, has that NBA pedigree, has that respect without saying a damn word when he walk into the room. He does not have to talk about improve himself or have anything that he has to do to validate that respect. It's going to happen from day one. LeBron is going to respect that. D-Wade, you start going down all the top-tier players in the NBA now, they are going to respect him. And that not only helps you in terms of getting the respect within your locker room, but also with free agents. It means so much when guys know that they're who they're dealing with, the type of coach they're dealing with, the type of winning coach they're dealing with. Juwan did it in Miami as a player. He's doing it in college. He has proven himself a winner, both as a player and as a coach. That's the guy. I mean, if you're real, if we're being honest and real about it, that's the guy you really should be targeting.
Well, here's the thing. He hasn't won in the pros. You can win in college. But it doesn't Rick Pitino came in here as the next savior, and we're saying, oh my God, he came in.
They gave him the keys to the kingdom, Max. They didn't. Yeah, he needed the keys to like a room.
They gave him the whole comes up whenever there's a new GM.
I was here for that, but still, I think that you saying walk into a room. I think Chauncey Billups is going to have a bigger footprint because I think he's quiet. I think he's more understanding of the game. And here's another thing that's going to happen with him. Chauncey Billups is going to be a Hall of Famer. So that's going to be another title that comes along with who he is. And look at one of the decisions he's made so far. They gave him the Cleveland job. He was going to get the Cleveland job. But as a general manager. But he chose wisely and said, no, thank you. I'm good. So let's give him credit right now.
And he was instrumental in getting you the one piece that got that chip in 08, Kevin Garnett. And to me, that whole period of time where he was playing in Detroit, but he's convincing Kevin to come to Boston, knowing that was probably going to make his chances of being at the top dog in the East harder. That's some selfless stuff that when you're trying to convince a player to go through that brick wall and they don't want to, he could be like, look, I played on a championship squad and I convinced them to get a team that was going to take that championship pedigree away from me.
I'm going
to
scream out one thing so you guys can all yell at me. And Nick is going to turn even more red right now. Mark!
Hey.
No! You might as well say
he's out of touch with this generation, man. Talk about someone out of touch with this generation.
Knows the game. Knows the game. Develop a Golden State team that was destined to win the championship.
Okay, look, Max. Hey, Max. I'm gonna splice this one in two parts. Okay. I like Mark Jackson as a person. I do. I've talked with him before. He's a good dude. But for this particular team, yeah. It would absolutely blow up in their face.
Here's the thing you said. What does he do that, you know, with he demands respect. And that's the first thing that you think about players when they come in. He knows the game. If you listen to him, he knows the game. He's played the game at a high level. And again, people can talk about Steve Kerr all you want to, but the person that made that team, developed that team,
that
was Mark Jackson.
But he lost the locker room. I mean, that'd be like going from Casey Jones to Bill Fitch instead of the other way around.
Come on, man. This team needs a demanding person who is accountable for his actions, and that's why I love Mark Jackson.
I just don't think he'd be a good fit with this team, Max. I really don't. And listen, Max, it has nothing to do with his ability to coach. It has nothing to do with his ability to lead. It has everything to do with fit. I don't think he's a good fit. If I've got for this particular job, and I've got Chauncey Billups in one hand and I got Mark Jackson the other, I'm going to go with Chauncey. And not only because I think he'd be a better fit, but I think Chauncey will surround himself with the right type of assistants that will complement his leadership style. He's going to need someone, for example, who's really strong X's and O's type. He's going to have that assistant. He's going to need someone who's good at scouting and doing that kind of stuff. He's going to find someone that. When it comes to leadership, that's his role. That's where he has to come into play. And he has to be the one that orchestrates that. That's why he was someone that people wanted as a GM, because they knew he had the ability to galvanize.
Let me ask you this. What happens? This is what is. What happens if the Celtics hire somebody who doesn't look like me?
Oh.
I mean, who's it going to be?
I won't.
Also with Brad Stevens getting promoted.
I'm just a bad PR move. That's all.
Well, here's the thing, man. I guess my thing will be this. If that's the end result you come to and there wasn't anyone qualified, I just don't think that's the best fit for this team. I think that the Tatums and the Browns of the world, I think they're low-key looking at Brad and looking at the Celtics like, wait a minute. We just came off a pretty shitty season, and now he's, like, running things? And we're replaced with, like, like Brad Stevens 2.0? I think that's going to rub some of the guys the wrong way.
Max,
I just think they're too smart to do that, to be honest with you. I think they're going to find someone who is a better fit in that role.
I'm reading over here to your chat line. Somebody just went with Paul Pierce. Hold on a minute.
They've been doing that. Oh, he's smoking a bun. No, the whole chat broke. He broke the chat.
Paul is my guy. I love Paul. I raised Paul. But my God, man, you cannot make more mistakes than Paul Pierce has last year. You can't.
I'd love to come back.
Come on. Maybe this year. Yeah. Maybe.
No. In last year, you named me somebody who's made more mistakes on camera than Paul Pierce.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA and the NHL are in full swing now. BetOnline.ag isn't just about sports. If you don't want to bet on sports, BetOnline has other options such as award shows, TV shows, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Head over to BetOnline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Now, don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert.
I love the truth, but I'm gonna have to take a pass on that.
Yeah, I'll take a pass.
Maybe forget what I was gonna ask.
Broadcast booths, I would like them.
Yeah. Don't sleep on Danny Ainge in the broadcast booth. Now that he's got time to kill. Well, that was my first thought.
I said that, Sherrod. I said that, too. You watch Danny Ainge stick around and team up with Gorman.
I'm telling you. Yo, Matt's. Let's be honest. Danny's pretty damn good in the booth. I ain't going to lie. He's really good.
I want to change it a little bit. I want to ask you, Sherrod, because I haven't had the opportunity to ask.
Max, forget what I was going to say.
I haven't had the opportunity to ask you about what Kyrie Irving did with the logo.
No, that was it. That's you. That was going to ask you that.
Here's the thing about the logo thing. I mean, obviously, it wasn't the best decision Kyrie made, but you know what? The victor goes to spoils. I mean, would I would have done that? No. Do I like seeing that? No. But I understood why he did that. He was rubbing that shit in.
He was doing his best WWE villain impression.
Please help me out. What did you understand that he did it for? Because I'm baffled right now. I mean,
Kyrie did it because he wanted to rub it in, Max. He wanted to – I mean, he didn't just want to beat the Celtics. He wanted to put his heel in your mug and put it in your face.
Yeah, point but you know what that that's you what, know what that symbolizes.
Not one person.
That symbolizes the fan base. That symbolizes, like –
that symbolizes
mind,
diversity. I'm sorry.
I just think when he's
– Celtics too. I mean,
when he sees the
Kyrie
well,
made.
Yeah,
a,
I mean,
Kyrie made
for
a
Celtics fan,
Kyrie made
not the way
great
Kyrie sees it.
Being accountable.
Yes,
Kyrie made this one line about being accountable. He said, "I'm going to be accountable. I have to be accountable. Their behavior can only be this, and it can be this. That wasn't behavior of a guy who knows better." And if he didn't know
but Max,
say,
okay. Max, this is Kyrie.
Yeah.
You know as well as I do, he is Mr. Confliction. One minute he's making sense, the other minute he's making silliness. It doesn't add up. When you start trying to like think about what he does logically, that's when we get in trouble. Because we're going to come to a dead end and realize it's not even a dead end, it's a cul-de-sac because you're back where you started from. When you're trying to make sense of what he's talking about. So it bothered me that he did it, but I understood that he was doing it because that's just how Kyrie's
doing. I know. Sherrod's like me, yo. I know you don't miss transcribing those 800 words every night.
This dude Dude,
yeah, he was pretty much
wiping shit off his shoes, okay?
And Max. And you know what bothered me, Max? You know what bothered me more than that was the way that they all, you know, hugged up, buddied him after the game. That bothered me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Max, if you come to my field and you kick my ass and you put your heels up like that, we ain't shaking hands after the game. You could be my mama. You could be my brother. You could be my cousin. We ain't cool right now.
Right.
We may be cool the next day.
I'm not talking to you.
Let me say something.
Right. Where's that fire from these guys to say, hey, that's our logo.
That ain't cool.
That's our team. You know, no one said a peep.
In the chat room, they're saying a lot about, no one ever, if that happened in Larry Bird's era, blah, 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 blah. Bill Laimbeer spit on it, stomped on it, jumped on it. And you know what? Robert Parrish, you put him on his ass. He did it.
Bill Laimbeer got what he got. He got his ass. He got knocked down by Robert Parrish. And here's the biggest thing about it. If you go back and look at that tape, you don't see one player coming over to help Bill Laimbeer out.
Not one.
I said, Robert, weren't you concerned that another player was going to come over and do something to you? And this is Robert's line. I thought somebody was coming over, but they didn't.
Look, they didn't want that smoke. Look, man, they didn't want none of that three-piece with a crusty biscuit.
They don't want none of that.
And then
look
over him like this.
Oh, man. He got too excited.
He was just about to curse. He broke the feed on his own show. Man.
I was about to ask him a question about Kyrie, but I guess I'm going to throw it to Sherrod. Sherrod, I mean, if you're Jason Tatum and
– I'm going to get Max back in, Josue. I'm going to get Max back in.
If you're Kyrie, and after everything that you found out about Brad Stevens getting his new position, you know, after the season that he just turned in and the 500 record and all that, tell me I'm not texting Jason and being like, so he has a season where you guys stop listening to him, the team doesn't do well, first round exit, and he gets promoted? Is this the squad you still want to rock with?
Listen,
what's going to stop Kyrie from saying that? Something like that.
I don't think they're going to be that point blank about it. I think it'll be like, so what's up with Boston? I mean, Brad was coaching and y'all struggled, and then he gets promoted. I think it's going to be much more open ended conversations where folks are going to try to fill Tatum out to see where he's at. But certainly, if you're Jason Tatum, this head coaching hire is huge for not only his future but the future of this organization. Because if they get this wrong. And it, you know, they bring in someone who is very similar to Brad Stevens in terms of how he goes about doing things.
He might be
Tatum is going to be looking at the watch and just like, okay, this is kind of how they want to rock these. And you've got the same issue with Jaylen Brown. I mean, they need to make sure whatever they do, they include their two foundation core guys in that conversation. That doesn't mean you're going to do what they want, but the problem that players have is when these decisions are made and they're finding out through Twitter, they're finding out through their iPhone, and they're just you're like, damn, I'm involved. Well, they don't even necessarily want to be involved. They just want to be informed. That's the issue that I think a lot of players are bothered by with management. And the Celtics, they would be wise. Brad Stevens would be very wise to make sure when he's getting to the point where he's starting to formulate, you know, kind of the list of people he wants to talk to, he talks to those guys about that. I mean, if he's thinking about a Becky Hammon, you talk to Tatum, you talk to Brown about, you know, that time when she was an assistant with the Olympics and they worked a little bit with her. What was that like? Was there something that she said or something she did that that resonates with you that you remember? If you're talking about, you know, Chauncey Billups, do you any of you guys have any connections with him? So find out whether these guys can give you some added insight before you make the biggest decision that you are going to be making in your role.
Here's the thing.
Look at Max. Yeah. You found the HD filter?
Damn, Max looking all clean now?
I can see the lint on your shoulder, man.
But here's what I believe. You guys say that about companies and managing companies and talking to players. And maybe you might have to, but I'll ask Nick. Nick, you make decisions all the time with your company. When's the last time you asked Josue or me what was going on?
Yo, that's true.
I'm just dumb, man. I lose money.
Did you get a call at all when Nick was doing something with the stimulus package. You get anything at all? Did he call you out?
No, I called everybody. Nobody took my calls.
No, I mean, we stand a better chance. We stand a better chance of hearing the news after his dog Winston hears it before us, who's right behind it. So,
Winston.
Saying, yeah, you can talk about people coming in and making decisions and wanting to keep players informed. But for the most part, and I understand it's a new era, maybe you might want to do that, but I don't think you involve them but so much with who you want, because you remember LeBron James was making a bunch of decisions at one time about, well, I want this player and I want that player and I want this and I want that, and turns around and leaves at the next breath. So I don't know how much you involve these players now.
Well, I think what you do, Matt Max, and that's why I use the word inform and not necessarily involve, because informing them simply lets them know what you plan to do. They can give you their opinion. They can give you their input, but you kind of know what you want to do. You just want to make them feel as though they're part of the process. They don't have to necessarily be part of the process, but you want them to at least feel that. But with LeBron, to your point, he was about feeling, doing, making. He was the process. Yeah. When you talk about trust the process, he's like, no, you trust LeBron because I am the process.
Well, do you think, I'll ask Josue, I'll ask all of you, do you think that Brown or Tatum – knew what was about to happen with Brad Stevens?
Yes, the night before they were told.
The night before, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thanks. The night before.
Right? Well, they're competing in a playoff series, Max. They don't need to.
I think that more than anything else is why you don't have that conversation, because they're in the middle of battle. I mean, yeah. I if I were Danny and Brad, I would have told them. I would have waited till we were done playing. To let them know.
How's the conversation going to go? And by the way, go out there and win this game, man. Don't worry about all that shit I just told you.
You know, guys,
the franchise is going to be all right.
Here's my great EEI story that when I used to work with them. And I was telling the story about what my mom did with me when it came to a certain procedure that she had when she told me that I was, you know what, son, you're going to get your tonsils taken out. And the next thing I know, I'm in there with the rest of the kids and going, man, my throat feels, the nurse said, oh, my throat feels great. I didn't know I was getting circumcised. Thank you very much, man. What a surprise that was. Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
The boy.
Son, how did your neck, hey, how are you feeling right now? I said, I'm doing great right now, lady. Then she said, get up and go to the bathroom. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Did they go the long way around? Or why do I have a pig in a blanket right now?
Oh my God.
How does that happen? So talking about being informed sometimes it's just basic trickery that people get you in. I'm just telling you.
This is the stuff we're going to find out in your book, I guess, right?
Yeah, like, this is how we keep it 100 here, I guess.
This is how we keep it 100.
Around in the book about Danny. Max out here, I got to ask
Max. Max out here keeping it on 1,000.
Guys, I just want to take a second and talk about Marigold with their stem cell research has been amazing. I went and did an evaluation and I ended up getting a shot, and I'm hoping right now I'm going to be back on the court. These guys were brilliant. They communicate well. They give you an education on what it's like. And that is what really, to me, won me over, because not only were they going to give me an operation, a procedure, but they were going to educate me about this procedure. And in learning and being comfortable, that is how you get well, and that's how you become partners. And my big shout out to those guys. They did a fantastic job. Check them out at marigoldmedical.com. That's the place to be.
Shannon Sharp on the rundown the other day. I'm watching.
Yeah, Max.
I hear Shannon Sharp tell Skip, I'm going to get Danny Ainge a copy of Cornbread Maxwell's book so he knows that the N-word was shown around the garden. I read your book, Max. It's not out yet. I got a pre-screen.
It's not even – I don't even know how he got to that point. I appreciate the
shout-out.
The nod, but I haven't even –
Yeah, he's a huge Cornbread guy.
And the author hasn't even finished doing the book yet. And
I know.
I understand that, but, man, I'm just saying with – I don't think I've ever been as surprised with this whole Brad Stevens thing when it came down. When somebody told me and said, well, Brad stepped down, Danny stepped down as coach, I was like, oh, okay. And then the next one was, well, Brad took his place and is no longer the coach. I have never, I mean, you say never, can't say never, but that was like the biggest slap in the face that, I mean, that I think I've ever remember seeing around here in Boston.
Slap in the face how?
Like, you didn't see it coming.
Oh, right.
It's like, you know, I know this has never happened to you, Nick, and Sherrod probably never happened to you, but just the way I'm sure it's happened to you when you're in the club sometimes, you were doing your party and you're getting your thing on, and all of a sudden some girl you know just comes up and slaps the hell out of you, and you go, whoa.
No, man, ain't never happened to me.
No, no.
What you mean?
That's how I felt with this whole trade. It's like somebody just slapped me in the damn face. Come on.
You were shocked like when we thought the bad guy won the presidency. Remember that morning? You were like, oh, what happened?
That was a whole nother.
That was a different feeling.
I was still been in depression right now. If that.
No, you was dodging my phone calls. Mac didn't want to hear from me.
That was like the end of the world. But anyway.
I told Max it ain't going to be that easy. And Max was like, well, it's going to be a landslide. And then it wasn't. And then all of a sudden, Max, I couldn't get him on the phone. I don't know, Max was dodging my call. It was official. All of a sudden, Max called me back. Yo, told you. I told you.
I didn't even know in Canada. I didn't know what was going on. He was gone.
And you know, there's some people on your chat right now who keep. And I keep reading it. And I keep seeing Rondo's name pop up.
Oh, Rondo.
Like Rondo. Rondo is going to – here's the thing. Rondo, believe it or not, is going to be a good coach in this league.
I believe it.
He's so damn smart. If I was taking a flyer, I don't know if it will be good now. But Rondo eventually is going to be a really good coach.
He wouldn't be good now because he's still got too much game left in him to be able to set him to keep that distance between being a player and being a coach. Because right now, if you put him out there as a coach now, he's going to be like, look, you know, Tremont, let me show you what you need to be doing. And you don't need your coach doing that.
Isn't that something we really need?
Tremont, if you got an assistant coach like that, absolutely. I don't think your head coach needs to be out there outperforming the guys that you're paying seven figures to.
And that's the thing. I mean, all year long, we all were kind of saying all the characteristics in a distributor we needed. It described Rondo, but we all wouldn't say it. We need Rondo. So, like, he still has game left. And I think he's brilliant, but is he mature enough yet? I think he's matured a lot, but that's a lot of pressure. I know our post-game press conferences would get a lot of views. Because you know Sherrod, right? He used to – just the outfits got views. He'd come out with that zebra skin coat. 20,000 views, right, Josue? Remember those days?
And if you ask him about it, he'll give you some outlandish answer, and it's just like, bam.
You know?
No, that was before my time, man. I got the friendly Rondo because it was always a homecoming. And he was, believe it or not, whether it was a fan, whether it was except a guy who was just working at TD Garden, he was dapping up everybody. So
not Mark Murphy and not what's his name?
I never saw that dark side of Rondo.
Couple.
Is Sherrod, is the team going to sign Evan back, Fournier?
They're going to try. I mean, they're definitely going to try, but man, I just don't know how much that's going to move the needle for you. I mean, to be honest, I think about how are you going to be without him? And how will you be with him? And I don't think there's a huge amount of separation there. But the one thing that the Celtics have to worry about is if you can't move Kemba, you got to have somebody that can step in and give you similar or comparable production. I don't think Romeo is there yet. I don't think, you know, Nesmith is there yet. But when you got a guy, you know, like Fournier, who you know can get you 20 points pretty much on any given night, to me, he's a snuggie. He makes you feel comfortable. He makes you feel at ease. You're not going to cling to him like every single moment, but he just makes you feel better. Having him around makes you feel better.
My only fear is that the Celtics are unable to trade Kemba, and all of a sudden your cap space is done with. I mean, it pretty much is right now.
It is.
A little bit of space that you have, you would be giving it to him, you know? So it's tough because on the floor, they 100% absolutely need this guy, you know, with Kemba or what's left of Kemba heading into next season. So it's tough. But if you bring him back, and you're unable to trade Kemba and you still got Marcus Smart on the books, and of course your two max guys and Tatum and Brown, you don't have any wiggle room to facilitate some sort of deal unless it's a sign and trade type of deal.
Yeah, the wild card in all of this is health. I mean, just imagine if this team stayed healthy, how good could they be? Yeah. None of us really know that. We want to say maybe they're top three in the East if they're fully healthy for the overall majority of the season. Max, let me finish. That's being, to me, that's like pie in the sky best case scenario.
I mean,
best case scenario. And a lot of things would have to break right for them that they don't have control of.
Right now, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Philly.
Yeah.
And
Brooklyn. Yeah.
So the Celtics at best.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say
he's got two players still sending, though, right?
Atlanta right now is a better team. So the Celtics are someplace down in the pack, which is unfortunate right now.
Yeah.
I think even in the best case scenario, this team is like, it's like one of the teams like five or six.
That's a worst.
If everything is equal, yes. But with Philly, Joel Embiid is Joel Embiid injury away from being in that 3-4-5 conversation. Atlanta, I think, has had a great season, but again, was it a fluky season or are they just like actually running into shape? New York, was this just kind of a flash in the pan for them? Or are they going to fall back to earth and be like 7-8-9-10 type team as opposed to top four, top five? There's a lot of things that could shake a certain way that the Celtics again have no control over, but if they were to happen, none of us would be shocked. I mean, if Embiid was hurt for an extended period of time, if the Knicks fell back to 7-8, if Atlanta wasn't as good next year as they are this year, and then all of a sudden you see the Celtics in that 3-4 conversation, I don't think any of us would be surprised by that.